Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Popstar Academy Cat's Eye, episodes 5 and 6. The girls are made public in the survival show Dream Academy. They were going to name it Crush Your Dreams and Destroy Your Soul Academy, but Bang Bang thought that was a bit long. Who's going to make it out alive? Let's find out. Good mid-afternoon, Juliet. How are you?
I am great. I am steaming right now. We are in the middle of a heat wave.
Again, we are very weak. It's maybe like 84.
Yes. That is 20 degrees hotter than we're used to.
And I don't have AC in my house. At least you have AC. We're cooking here.
I don't know how you're surviving. Whenever we go down to OC, which we did last weekend, my mom just looks at me like I'm such a...
weak sauce.
Weak sauce. Because my kids and I, we cannot sleep. It's so hot. And she's like, what? It's 96 degrees. It's not that hot.
And Asian parents being Asian parents, they're not cranking up the AC when we're not around. And so when we are around, they'll crank it down. Like they'll crank the Nest down a little bit lower than they usually would. So we were down in LA last time. It was really hot. And my husband and I were like, is the AC on? We checked the Nest.
It's like 82 degrees.
Yes, like that's their threshold. Right. Our threshold is like 72. Give me 72.
Oh, we're like 68.
In the winters, we're known amongst our friends, our house, as being the cold house.
Your house is ice cold. And I remember last time we were here recording and then you checked and it was like 64 degrees. And I was like, I think that's like a torture chamber.
It's a literal ice box. Yeah. I just have like meats hanging. And drying because it's like the perfect temperature, the coolness to dry a meat. You know, there's nothing like talking about the weather.
We are just turning into crotchety old ladies.
We actually were talking when you walked in the door. I was noting that you got new sunglasses and they were really cute.
Yes, I got them on my trip to Orange County. And if you have been a longtime listener, you know my dad just loves to
buy you stuff.
I'm always a little ungrateful for it, but he just buys things for me, like a new phone. He just shows up with a new car. Anyway, the reason why we're talking about this is because he really wanted to buy me these sunglasses. So he takes me to a Korean shop because there's so many of them in Orange County's Korean optometry shops. They displayed this new-ish brand. I think it's like 2 years old. They're called Karin, C-A-R-I-N. And he says they're the new hot glasses in Korea.
Your dad said this or the optometrist?
No, the optometrist. The optometrist said this is rivaling Gentle Monster. And ooh, they're much lighter. They're made with titanium. And so they're super light, very cool. And then they had a prominent picture of V wearing the exact same glasses that I picked.
But his were polarized.
Well, I asked, like, how much would it be to polarize it? And then my dad was like, no, you can't get it polarized. That's too expensive. It was like $250 more on top of the sunglasses. So I was like, okay, forget it. But they're definitely not great for the sun. They look good. But I'm always kind of cringing when I'm staring into the sun. So,
The optometrist is like, I mean, these are very cute, but do not wear them outside. I just got very similar looking ones, the wireframe 50 millimeter Ray-Bans. But I did get them polarized and it makes such a difference.
Oh, I know. I have one pair of polarized Ray-Ban glasses and I feel like I could see more clearly than just without glasses.
Yeah, I'm just staring into the sun every day now. No problem.
That solar eclipse.
Although I think Gentle Monsters really had a run.
Oh.
So long. It's been like 10, 12 years.
I'm been surprised that it took them this long to get a competitor of the same quality. I think there are a few. I've seen on TikTok too, people will be like, if you go to Korea, go to this shop. They have a lot of the same styles as Gentle Monster. Mm.
There's nothing more fun though than the Korean glasses and sunglasses shops. They're not like Sunglass Hut, you know, but they're also not as sterile as an optometrist here. Like they're just, because so many people wear glasses there. They just have these shops that are just filled with like beautiful glasses and sunglasses. You just go in and try.
Well, what makes it different from a Sunglass Hut?
So I went last time. My mother-in-law was wearing these regular glasses, like aviator style. My mother-in-law is very chic. Mm-hmm. And so my sister-in-law, who wears glasses all the time, I don't. I only wear them at night. She wanted them.
You wear sunglasses at night?
What? Sorry, these are regular glasses.
Okay. Like, I only wear them indoors.
I'm that cool?
I mean, that's basically what Koreans do. That's what my sunglasses are for.
I feel like nothing makes you look like a bigger douchebag than wearing sunglasses indoors. And I say this because I just saw, like, maybe it was like the NBA finals or something, and Guy Fieri, of all people, was wearing sunglasses courtside at some basketball game. And I was like, man, I love Guy's grocery games, but he's such a douche. And, you know, anyway, that was quite a tangent.
I can't believe it took the indoor sunglasses to make you think that Guy Fieri was a douche. Oh, my gosh.
My household loves Guy's grocery games. Anyway, so we go to this glasses shop. My sister-in-law wants these glasses that her mom has. And then they're like, you should try them on, too. And I was like, okay. And I put them on. So this is the difference between a Korean shop and an American shop. They're like, okay, go right behind the counter and we'll measure your eyes. Full exam.
Yes.
Like, no, like, do you have insurance? Right. They're just like, boom, sit down. They did the whole, like,
Depth measurement.
You got to go look in the machine and you got to look at the house.
Air. Yes.
Air puffs, like, everything.
Wow.
Full on right there. No wait. And then I got my glasses within, I don't know, like a day. Perfectly, like,
size for your face. Yeah. And the prescription
is
right.
Just right. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we talked about Korean efficiency on this podcast before. And that is one thing. When you go to Korea, you have to go to an eyeglass shop. Because here, you have to go to the optometrist and then get the paper and take it to the sunglass shop you want to go to. You know, or the optometrist has always the worst.
Oh, just the worst.
The worst selection.
Yes. But anyway, they look very chic on you. So congrats. You had like very expensive sunglasses. You had a pair of YSLs that you lost, which is so tragic.
Oh, well, what's great is I've found all of the sunglasses I've lost recently.
Oh, your daughter put them down the vent?
If you didn't know, there's a story. We suspect my daughter threw my engagement ring down the vent. But no, it was like in the basement somewhere and it had warped from the sun.
When? In the basement?
No, I mean, who knows? I don't know.
So they just wore. They warped.
Yeah, because it's plastic. And that's the other thing about sunglasses that infuriates me.
Maybe you kept it close to the heater down in the basement?
Yeah, it could have been that. Or it may have just, maybe that was how it was. And then I put him away somewhere. But my husband was doing some clean out and he found them. He found Gentle Monsters from our last trip 8 years ago. You know, the ones with the mirrored glasses that were so popular back then?
I still have my pair.
I found them, or he found them, and I wore them, and everyone's like, oh, I like your sunglasses. So I'm trying to make those come back in style, too.
Are they the black ones with the reflective?
Well, the reflection is silver.
Silver, yeah, yeah. I have a pair that were blue with silver.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, they were really hot at the time, but I don't think I can pull that off here. Anyway.
What do you mean?
It's a very... Like you could wear, you know, there's certain things you can wear in Korea or like Miami. I just don't feel like I can wear them here. They're bright blue reflective and Gentle Monsters are huge
they
on your face.
Huge.
So it's a little much. Yeah. Every time my husband goes back to Korea by himself, he'll come back with
a new pair of glasses.
And it's always sunglasses. And I'm always just like, oh my God, I like gird myself. I'm like, what new horror?
But then does he come home and wear them around?
Well, he expects to, but then upon my reaction of put those away, they will never see the light of day, he doesn't end up getting to wear them. So but this last trip he came back, he went by himself, and he did bring some very acceptable pairs back. I've trained him now. 12 years later, he knows not to bring back monstrous reflective BTS style glasses.
It's like when you go to really any other country and you're like, oh, do as the Romans do. You know, I go to Korea and I always like think I'm going to put some pins in my hair, you know, and then I come back and I'm like, I look like a fool.
You completely lose your mind.
You do.
You like lose your whole sense of who you are as a person.
I mean, think about us here. I feel like having been in the Bay Area, I just slowly morphed into
just the schlub.
Just, yeah, wearing the schlubbiest clothes, but also kind of the same thing all the time. And there's this one family in our grade where the parents always look so puffed together, but not even, I wouldn't even say they're wearing anything super fancy, but they just look put together. And my husband even noticed and was like, man,
really?
I really need to get it together. You know, they kind of make us feel like slobs.
And your husband always just wears a t-shirt, some jeans and a hat.
Yeah.
And so coming from that guy who generally
doesn't
seem to
notice. Or care.
Yeah, if your husband was in Dream Academy, he wouldn't be getting the votes. Only the girls who put it together.
But you know what? I feel like my husband would be like a Manon.
Mm.
You know, where he doesn't really try very hard. But then people like him. He doesn't try hard, or he doesn't put that much effort into himself. And then everyone's like, oh, you look great. Apparently, so there was this thing with our husbands are doing fantasy football, right? And the loser had to film themselves making some food. So my husband lost 1 week and he had to do that as his punishment. And he uploaded it to the group thread and somebody on the thread was like, drop your skincare routine. My husband's like, you wash with water. But he's so, it's
water and like Dove, right?
No, not even Dove.
He doesn't even use soap.
He just lets whatever's on his hair just drip down in the shower. He does take 2 showers a day. Maybe that's what it is. But I'm always like, what the heck? I slap on 15 creams on my face and I've aged 10 years. You have done nothing and have very bad lifestyle habits. And somehow your skin looks great. He like doesn't even have blackheads.
Drop your skincare routine.
But you know, he's like that where like he's at the bottom in the way that how little effort he puts in. But then
high impact.
Yeah.
High results. He's the Manon of our friend group. Oh my gosh.
Actually, what we should do at the end of this is who are you? Let's identify ourselves.
Okay. So that was me trying to transition.
Sorry to turn you again.
So we have episodes 5 and 6 of Cat's Eye, Pop Star Academy. Oh, wait. Before we get into it, I did want to talk about Culinary Class Wars.
Don't worry, guys. It'll be a short recap.
It definitely feels like a lot of our listeners are watching Culinary Class Wars. And
they keep pressuring us to just shift gears.
Yeah. Jarrell, our listener, has basically messaged us being like, it's clearly not your show, guys. Let's go to Culinary Wars.
It's okay to drop it.
Well, we're not going to ditch it, but Culinary Wars, have you been caught up?
I have not since the last, I think I watched like 4 or 5 episodes, but it has been coming up on my TikTok, little clips of it, and I know it's going to get good. So I'm hoping this weekend I can binge a little bit on it.
Well, there's one, I'm only bringing this up because there's one, I think the hottest guy.
The one with the glasses?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Objectification Corner, again, on Culinary Class Wars. It was bound to happen, but the hottest fine dining black spoon guy with the glasses.
Yes.
So hot. He comes.
What's his deal?
Well, I haven't looked him up because I haven't been wanting to spoil things, but he definitely trained under Chef On. You learned that in that first round.
That's right. Yes. I remember when they took the blindfold off of Chef On, he was like, oh, yep, this makes sense.
So
it was his protege.
Yeah, so it definitely seems like he very recently. There were 2 of them have worked with Chef On. One of them was the taller one who is actually doesn't do well in a team event. Mm. He, I think, worked him in the past. I think this glasses guy has worked with him much more recently. Anyway, I mean, he's the one who chops like crazy. He'll chop like so fine, and everything is diced perfectly the same size. Like this guy.
Wait, is there something sexual about that?
Is there something really? His knife skills. Who knew? Turn me on. You know, I like a good driver and I like a man with good life skills. So anyway.
Just life skills.
But anyway, this guy is telling a story about his background and he worked for Corey Lee at Beinu.
Oh, no way. I do remember walking by the glass window of Beinu and you can see all the chefs working. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, man, there are a lot of like hot Korean guys in this vicinity. Like I couldn't even look them in the eye because, you know, when there's a cluster of them, you feel like intimidated.
So yes,
I was like,
yes.
Oh my God. Who are all these Korean men I've never seen before?
And they're just chopping away.
Yeah, getting
so sweaty in there.
Chop me up.
Yeah. So anyway, Corey Lee makes another turn in the show.
Ooh.
So that was the only thing I think worth noting. He's the hottie. I don't feel like anybody else is super turning my head on this show, except for Chef On. He's kind of hot, but he blinks a lot.
Okay, yeah. So there have been some creators from Korea who are doing these little skits on TikTok where they pretend like they're Chef On, and all they do is aggressively blink. And then I was like, oh, I mean, I'm sure it's a little bit of a disorder. Don't make fun of him.
Or his eyes are really dry. Okay, so that's all I wanted to say about Culinary Wars. It's our little truncated recap, but yeah, keep going with that because it's really fun. Okay, finally, sorry, back to Cat's Eye, Pop Star Academy. We start episode 5. Everyone is telling us about Manon. It's a lot about Manon and how Manon is a problem.
She's the villain.
Yes. Missy tells us she had to be moved out of the girls' shared house because she was breaking curfew. she was just being naughty. I don't know. Like, she was, just wasn't following the rules.
Yeah, she was late for class.
She skips practice a lot, apparently. And so the other girls who apparently go to practice every day and, like, for whom this has been their life for a full year, like, seemingly resent her. I think rightfully so.
I don't think it's seemingly. Yeah, they resent openly. Her. They talk so much shit about her. I don't know if they say it to her up front or act that way to her face, but they are all bound together by their dislike for her. Mm-hmm. The one thing I find interesting is that Manon is so above it. She is not bothered.
She does not care.
Yeah. She doesn't even think about these girls, really.
No. She doesn't want to live with them, right? She's just like, it's actually very hard to live with all these girls. She is in her own world and she's fine with it.
Manon also says that she talked to Sun about you know, missing practice and whatnot. And he told her, you don't have to be the best. We're not looking for the best. And I was like, was that a reassurance for her that we have identified you as having the star quality? And he in a later scene does say, like, I really saw that star quality in her, but she's not putting in as much effort. But for her, I think that was such an interesting thing to say. And I wonder if that's also why she just doesn't try as hard.
Right. I don't think San was trying to tell her, don't worry. You know, if you miss practice, it's okay. You don't have to be this. I think he's saying it's okay that you're not coming in as the best. You still don't have to be the best. But I don't think he was saying don't practice. And I think she totally interpreted it as,
she took it as that. Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Well, so then, like, if I don't have to be the best, then I don't have to practice to be the best.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, we talk about pretty privilege a lot.
We will see it play out a lot with this girl, because even Missy, who had really liked Manon, was like, she's not humble. And K-pop is about being humble and kind and caring about
your teammates,
others, mm-hmm. your fans. And she says that she has a lot of arrogance, which is a pretty harsh thing to say.
Missy straight up looks at the camera and is like, I wouldn't put Manon in this group.
Yes.
She basically doesn't deserve it.
But this is why this group is so interesting, because it's not always up to the execs. I mean, I suppose they have veto power for everything, but they could be very easily swayed by how popular and how much pretty privilege she gets.
Yeah. If Manon had maybe ranked lower than 10, but Manon is in the top 6, and we'll see in all the votes, the public loves her. And you can't deny that. So we think that's going to be the big drama of these two episodes. It kind of is not at all, because we move on to the survival portion of the show. They're calling it Dream Academy. It's set up so that all these girls will have 3 missions to complete before the final group is selected. And these 3 missions are going to take over the course of a few months. Before the mission starts, they have what they called a showcase. So for over a few, like 3 days, YouTube videos of all of these girls doing various things like dancing and singing will be posted on the Dream Academy like website or TikTok. The top 6 who get votes from the public get immunity for mission 1. And the way that it's set up is that everyone in the public watching Dream Academy on TikTok, on the website, on Instagram, on YouTube, they get to vote 1 time per day.
They got smart since our American Idol days when we were calling in incessantly. Now you can only do 1 vote a day.
It sounds like this is a model that they use in Korea a lot already for these girl groups. Like, I know my husband was saying he has watched some of these shows before where these idol girls, like 40 of them, come together and they basically just start getting voted off one after another. It's brutal. So I think in Korea, this model doesn't seem harsh. I think to us, especially because I think the big problem is that these girls didn't know.
Yes.
That it was going to be a survival show.
So I'm curious, in Korea, if they're training for all this time and then they come out into the public in the same way that these girls do?
It sounds like that's the way that it happens, but they know up front.
They know up front, right.
That this is how it goes. Yeah. These girls didn't know.
And one reason why this is really disadvantaged for certain girls is that if you have a strong social media presence, then you have a fan base and people know you, people have seen you, people have grown to love you. So they'll vote out of loyalty to you. But for those who don't, you're completely unknown and, you know, people on the internet will find any reason to hate people.
Yeah,
so
100%.
I think some of the girls are very nervous.
And so what ends up happening, we come out of that first showcase vote. The top votes are a lot of them driven by nationality. So number 1 is Sophia, and she's Filipino. And they make it seem on the show like the country of the Philippines is just like backing her.
I mean, this was also fascinating because, and having worked in social media, I know the Philippines, Brazil, South Korea, those are some of the major users on social media mm-hmm. platforms. Brazil is huge. And so it makes sense that they're vying for the person that represents their country.
Right.
But like Samara,
I think.
Yeah, Samara got voted quite high.
Yeah.
But you look at the people who were not voted very high, they mostly came from the US or like Slovakia. Adela didn't get many votes. And, you know, people are not using social media as much there.
And there's like four of them. We're talking volume too, you know?
I think it's such a fascinating social experiment. It's a complete popularity contest.
But it's interesting because Marquise, who we just don't see often, she has the like reddish hair.
Oh my gosh. I did not know anything about her, but I think she's gorgeous.
Gorgeous. She's from Thailand.
Yeah.
But I was like, so where was Thailand? But they already have Lisa. So right. They're like, we don't need another. But in the Philippines, they're like, this is our first girl in a K-pop.
Well, and to be fair, you have to be part of a country that really cares about K-pop to have known about this. I didn't even know about it. I didn't know this was going on. Did you?
No, zero idea.
Right. And I'm on TikTok incessantly. It never came up on my feed. I mean, if it did, I was not paying attention to it. And so you have to be connected to HYBE to know that this contest was happening. So in some ways, it really favored certain people. And, you know, it's unfair, which is life.
That is life. I'd say that the top players, though,
are mostly
deserving. Right. We know who's not.
Yeah.
And that one is the hardest pill to swallow. But it's a total popularity contest. But you can. But in just like the most macro way, it's just millions of people are judging you. This poor Emily.
Oh, but we forgot to mention Laura, who's Indian.
Yes.
And how many Indian people are there in this globe?
So many.
So many. I mean, actually, I'm shocked there's not a Chinese girl.
Yeah. What the heck?
I just realized that. Anyway, Emily. Poor Emily.
Poor Emily.
Who is the best dancer.
Yeah. By far.
By far.
She's, doesn't maybe have the social media following as everybody else. But I think it just, what it shows is how poisonous this can be for young women. Because Emily is standing there. She says, every free moment I had, I was on my phone looking at the vote tally.
Oh my God.
And she's at the bottom. And she's just like, all these hateful comments. She goes like, what's up, y'all? Or something. And everybody.
And then everyone
shits on her. Yeah. And she's like, it's so hurtful. It's so awful. And to have that kind of hate spewed at you.
Oh my gosh.
At that age.
I mean, we had some pretty brutal, you know, comments about some of our content at one point. And we're elderly millennials. Mm-hmm. And it affected us.
Yeah.
Imagine being 14 or 16 and having hate comments.
Yeah.
It's terrible. That brought me to Hinari. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize she's 14 years old.
Yeah.
So young. And she gets feedback about her dancing that it's not sharp enough and, you know, she's off. And she was sobbing. It was so hard to watch. But I was like, I don't know how a 14-year-old could handle that. And like,
she's crying so much she has like eczema on her eyes.
Oh no.
It's really tough. I mean, they're not very nice to her. There's one point where she's dancing and Son is watching her and he takes Missy out of the room and takes off their mics.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I was like, ooh, that cannot be good for Hinari. I mean, the power of the internet and diehard fans is just so powerful. There's just an article about Whole Foods. They have this cake that I love. I'm sure you've eaten in my house before.
Oh, yeah. Berry Chantilly.
Berry Chantilly. And so they are trying to, because of shrinkflation, change the recipe. And so they like, instead of usually in the layer. So there's this Berry Chantilly cake at Whole Foods. If you haven't tried it yet, run. Don't walk. It is the best store-bought cake. Some woman in Berkeley walks into her Whole Foods. They don't have it or they're changing the recipe. And she walks out and she's like, guys, this is the worst day of my life. It gets 1.5 million views on TikTok. That was maybe like September 21, literally September 30th. Whole Foods was like, okay, guys,
we'll keep it.
We'll keep it.
There was so much pressure. The power of social media is, you know, is beautiful in some ways. We finally, we got our cake.
Yeah. We're keeping our cake.
But also very harmful.
Yes. Mission one, the vocals and the dancers get split into different groups. For the dancers, they have two teams and they're just basically redoing a music video. And so one team does Pink Venom by Blackpink and the other team is doing
New Jeans, OMG.
Blackpink, Pink Venom, Hanari is in that group. She's a problem again. She really drags down that whole group. Yeah. It's quite sad to see. But basically they like take clips of these choreographed dances and they post it on the internet. Then the vocal teams, there's like five, and they stand around and they all sing a song without any dancing.
Yes.
Like it's very clear when you watch them which teams are better.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%.
And so the voting comes in again.
I mean, one of the teams was just, they were just out of tune.
The singing, I think the dancing is much better than the singing.
Than the singing, yeah.
Like the best dancers are just much better at dancing than the best singers are at singing.
I think there are probably 2 to 3 good singers and the rest are mid.
Yeah. The votes come in again. It's as expected, the popular girls.
Well, it was Nayeong because, I mean, her singing is incredible.
Right.
And then it was Sophia, Samara, Manon, Yunche, and Lara.
So they're moving on. For the rest, 2 are going to be eliminated.
The big shock was that Adela was at the bottom. And then it was Brooklyn, Carly, Daniela, and Emily.
So the girls gather in a room in these like director's chairs. There's like an AI robot voice. It was just like an odd way to do it. It's so kind of deeply impersonalized it.
It's nobody wanted to be the face of it.
Yeah. Nobody wanted to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
Missy says she can't even handle it. She doesn't even want to be,
she didn't
in,
want to
the
be in the
room. Yeah. Manon actually isn't even there. She's positive for COVID. I mean, the things that they make these girls do in this room.
There's a reason why they have a therapist on site. That was so brutal.
The first mission, they watch as the 3 executives rate their performances. Like,
which is also so heart-wrenching to have to live through that with other people around.
Yeah.
It's like you're being stripped naked.
In front of everybody. It's just terrible. So besides the rankings, the execs pick 12 of the 14 that get to go to mission 2, which will be happening in Korea. The bottom 4 are, again, Adela, Hinari, Celeste, who has the pink hair, who you have literally never met before, and Ilya. They make it very dramatic. It's very obvious Hinari doesn't get to go. But between Adela, Celeste, and Ilya, it's like kind of, we kind of don't know. And we have really been, as viewers, made to believe Adela.
Yeah. Very invested.
Is a main character.
They said that she was like the mama of the group and she put in so much energy, even with Hinari. Mm-hmm. Hinari couldn't get the dances right and Adela was taking time to help her. So yeah, we really were made to believe she was the main character and would make the team, but she was cut.
She was cut for Celeste with the pink hair, who we just don't even know very well, doesn't seem very good, and Ilya, who also is fine.
I mean, there are so many mid people who, one, they don't feature.
Yeah.
And just, like, haven't wowed us. But this woman, Mitra, she's the Hybe by Geffen CEO. She says it's because we see Adela as a solo artist.
Yeah, but you're not, like, backing her to be a solo artist.
Right.
You're just...
It's not like
cutting her.
We are going to support her as a solo artist. I think they maybe felt like she would outshine everyone, but I don't know. I look at somebody like Lara. I think Lara would outshine others either. I think Lara would outshine others too. But I think there was an element of she was the lowest. No, people didn't resonate with her.
Yeah. Everyone just starts sobbing. Like,
oh my gosh.
Massive sobbing. Like,
spontaneous crying. It reminded me of the scene from Sound of Music where all of the children find out that they're getting a new
nanny
and they just start crying. And I remember watching that scene as a young kid and be like, I don't understand what's happening. They're all just crying out of nowhere.
It's so unrealistic. Yeah.
That's how it felt. Just went, everybody just burst into tears.
It was like Muppets, you know? It's just the saddest room ever. I feel like this is where the show gets so depressing. It was just like fun and games before, and now it just feels so real. This is the start of the end.
They're very cool.
I mean, you think it can't get worse or more brutal, but it does. It's just crazy how low these execs go for this, to how they treat these women. Adela takes it like a champ. She actually doesn't even cry in the room. If people were sobbing around me, I would cry in an instant. Yeah. She says to everyone, like the wise owl she is, you don't need this. If you get it, it's great.
I love
But you
that.
Don't need it because you're great on your own.
I love that.
Like the executive should be saying that to these girls, not Adela, who's what, 19 years old? And these execs don't do shit.
They've, the little pussies have run out of the room.
They can't even face them.
Yeah.
Adela calls her mom. She says on the phone, they dumped me for whatever reason. Her mom says, why do they keep you so long then?
Which I also was so impressed by Adela's response. I mean, she just stayed silent. Maybe.
There is no answer.
There is no answer. But you know, if it was me, I would be like, mom, why are you asking that? You know, like so annoyed. Like obviously.
Your dad's like, I'll buy you a car. Don't worry. Just come home.
But she was so mature. She just had just kind of a look of reckoning. You know, and I think she's off to do great things. She released a single.
Oh, great.
Solo, you know, so.
Amazing. I think this conversation really highlights like this is indentured servitude. These girls, they're coming, they get boarding and they get food and they get training, but they give them their time. They can't be on social media. Like they leave their families so that they're basically working for Hype Geffen so that they can have a documentary. Like they know that. 14 of these girls are never going to make it. And they still keep them on.
Yeah.
And they drag this out. And they basically are just using them.
They're trying so hard not to show us the underbelly of the K-pop trainee world. But we can see through the veil.
So that was the end of episode 5. Episode 6, the girls go to Korea for a month. They're there to film their second mission and to do press.
They have to perform full-blown singing, dancing included, a song by Le Sserafim. They're either in the Anti-Fragile group or in the Fearless group. Bang Bang comes.
Oh, it was like Mickey Mouse entered the room.
Yeah, he's like, I never meet trainees.
You guys are so special. We see here that an interviewer had asked Manon in the end of episode 5, why haven't you been going to practice and rehearsals? And be honest.
And be honest. It was such a threat.
Manon said, you know, I would just take days off because I was sore. And I thought it was like school. So I thought it'd be okay to skip rehearsals. This is very different than Hinari, who you see, right? She's failing at dancing and she's, you know, it's clearly affecting the group and she's sobbing, crying to the friends and just being like, I feel like I'm letting everyone down. I feel like I'm bringing everybody down. And because of me, that's such a different mentality than Manon. Right. Who's like, I mean, I don't feel good today, so I'm not going to go. There's no team mentality there.
And I don't blame the girls for hating her.
Yeah.
That would infuriate me.
And she gets all the votes.
Right.
Because she's very, very pretty.
I know I just said a few minutes ago that's life, but it's also just not fair.
It's not. Especially for an Adela. They say Adela worked the hardest.
So hard. And you see that. But my consolation in life that I tell myself and my kids is, you know, like that won't take you that far. Mm-hmm. Like we mentioned last week, it's the effort that counts.
Sure. Bing Bing explains that they're in Korea because he says core fandom wants to be physically close to these idols and it's important to build that relationship. It is such a Korean idol thing because even in these K-dramas, after these K-dramas are done, they have these fan meets.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not a thing here.
Oh, my gosh. No. Yeah, he was talking about like the physical closeness.
Being close, yeah.
And we have recapped some dramas where the leads will go out and have this fan meet and then sing, even though they're terrible singers.
Yeah.
You know, like as sort of fan service. Like,
right.
Oh, I'm giving you something special. And then they get a ton of gifts.
Yeah.
These fans go out of control with the gifts that they give them. And so, you know, I keep flip-flopping back and forth. I mean, they're trying to use a Korean model, but does that work in the Western world? This is not even a Korean group other than Yunche, Nayoung, and then she speaks Korean.
Oh, yeah. Ezrella speaks full Korean.
Yeah.
But other than I see that, I feel very ashamed that I don't speak Korean.
Truly. You see that and you're like, it's not going to be a Korean focus group. I don't even know if Korean people would be super interested in this group.
But the fans are going to be global. And those global fans are used to parasocial relationships that they actually take to the next level, which is actually like face-to-face.
Yeah.
So the American fans aren't going to need this.
Right.
But the Korean, the Thai, the Filipino, the Brazilians, they're going to want this. So they split these girls up. Fearless group 1, Fearless group 2. Fearless Group 1 is very strong. It's Manon and Daniela leading the charge with a lot of the votes. Fearless Group 2 isn't as strong. And they're also filming in the dark. They're all on this like helipad.
Yeah.
And the other girls have to film it in the dark. And they're wearing dark costumes. It just feels like they had the disadvantage because they got the sunset.
You can't see.
Yeah. Antifragile 2 is not as good friends. And they're missing Adela. And then this one, Megan is the strongest. But she has to basically take on Adela's spot and wear her clothes. And Ilya, she's looking at everyone and being like, I know you think I stole Adela's spot. And everyone's kind of bitter against her. And she's very openly like, I know you guys hate me. And it comes through in the dancing.
I did not love.
I don't like Ilya.
I did not love how she acted in this episode.
Yeah. Fearless Group 2 isn't as good as Fearless Group 1. They have Nayoung and they have Lexi, but kind of the others are like more bottom voted people. And so not very strong.
And then they have this review in this back room with the director, producer, and performance director for Les Serafim, who did Antifragile and Fearless. And they really wanted to bring these people on because they knew how things should be done. So it was really interesting. And I thought, you know, there's a bit of a bias towards Yunche. Mm-hmm. They like her because they know she trained with HYBE. They think that her style is most K-pop.
In fact, they say about Emily, but they're like, Emily doesn't have the look that K-pop fans like.
Mm.
She doesn't have an easy face, you know?
Right.
It's not that she's not gorgeous. It's just the features are not.
Like the woman I just mentioned, the woman who's well-dressed at school, like she's just nice to look at.
Right.
It's interesting how it's just like soft, these like soft features that make somebody nice to look at. Whereas not to say Megan is not nice to look at, but.
Or Emily.
They're just maybe a little bit like too unique.
Or like a little asymmetry. Mm. I mean, the thing about where we generally see beauty is in the symmetry of things. And so they're maybe not as symmetrical as maybe some of the other girls. You know, a little plastic surgery on the Yunche.
Exactly. I mean, but you know, what was sad is Yunche's parents said that while she was training, they told her to lose weight.
Yeah.
Awful. She's 14 years old.
I know. She definitely seems like Yunche goes over her time as a trainee. And it sounds like she cried a lot and it was very hard. And these parents just...
They stuck with it.
Yeah. And they let her do it because it was her dream. I mean, this is a girl who's worked very hard for this. You know, some big production, there is a director woman named Guzza. Guzza's here, guys. They are on a helipad. They're in this abandoned mall. They're filming these videos. I mean, like, it huge productions. And so they put a lot of money and effort towards this. They post it on the internet. They do the voting again. This elimination day is really brutal. So now everybody's sitting in a room. We're watching the results come out of Mission 2. Four girls are going to be eliminated this time and not going to be able to go back to the U.S. and participate in Mission 3. So they sit down like they did in the first elimination round. They're all, you know, expecting to see some horror show on this AI robot screen. Oh, they get it.
Oh, God. They said that the girls were all asked to rank the four girls they'd want in their debut group.
And the four girls they wouldn't. I think Sophia says, look, these people are my friends, but they're not necessarily the people I want to debut with. And so a lot of them are more practical about it. And I think later, one of the people who gets booted off, who was Ilya, she, I think, got zero votes from everybody. And she's like, I thought these people were my friends. But girl, this isn't a friendship game.
It's not.
Yeah. And it's very starkly put into focus with these videos.
She also made people feel quite bad about it. She's like, you didn't vote for me.
I know. You voted me off. So what happens is they sit and watch each other's videos where they were told would never see the light of day. And in front of everybody, each girl, I'm assuming, her video shows up where she lists her top four and potentially bottom four people. 14 people pick Sophia. 12 people pick Daniela. Celeste, Ilya, Manon. Let's make that very clear. Each get one vote.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn, UA, maybe somebody else get zero votes.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, to see that on the screen and just to see yourself ranked in that way by your friends. It's one thing when it's just the general public.
Totally.
And they're strangers and they don't care.
You spent a year every single day with these people.
Yeah.
I mean, way to just destroy these girls' confidence.
And destroy friendships.
Yeah.
Because whoever makes it to the top next six, and we know who's debuted as Cat's Eye, we know Manon is in there. And Manon now knows only one person wanted her and was probably counting herself. Self-vote.
Yeah, right. I have this tank top. I think I mentioned this on the pod before, but it's with Biggie and Tupac. Mm-hmm. And it says, trust nobody. I was going to drop it off to Goodwill, and then I pulled it out because I was like, I think I should keep this one. It's always a reminder to myself.
This move on the exec's part is so bad that they have to trot Mitra out and basically have Mitra explain herself to the camera. So Mitra comes out on camera and she says...
Well, like, she's the toxic one. At least Missy was like, we've reached this breaking point. Missy looks like she's about to have a nervous breakdown because the pressure.
Yeah. Missy looks like she needs to go to a retreat.
Yeah. She looks like she has not slept.
No.
Her voice is dry. Yeah. Her voice is breaking because she's feeling so devastated for these girls.
And her voice isn't loud in the room anymore.
Yeah.
It's definitely the execs are making the decisions and the public, and she kind of has to take a back seat.
Yeah.
Her sister's not even there to help them train in Korea.
And so this woman, Mitra, goes, it's entertainment. You have to create that drama.
It's dirty, but it got the clicks and views we needed. She says, we're not just building a girl group, we're building a fan base. That is her explanation. I mean, it really just boils down the nastiness of this industry.
Even though you know that's what it is, like to have somebody say that in kind of an inhumane way was really startling to me. Like it made this whole show a little icky.
Right. And I had said 2 episodes ago that when I watched Hard Knocks about football, I walked away from that documentary really actually not liking football anymore because you see how cutthroat they are behind the scenes for football. And this is exactly the moment where I was like, oh, I don't like, and I'm not going to root for this group. So I actually was like, by showing this on the documentary, which I'm shocked that they let this out, but I think they had on social media shown the rankings. Mm. So they had to come on and explain themselves. Right. But they did it in such an inhumane way. I don't think it band-aided anything. But it's like you try to sell this fan base that these are girls that really love each other and are a big team. And they work so hard to get here. And they're the hardest working ones. And then you've actually shown that, no, everyone hates Manon. She doesn't work hard.
Yeah.
She doesn't actually deserve to be here, but she's just pretty. Like, does it endear the fan base to these girls more? I think not.
I don't know. But, you know, when you watch a show like, say, Gossip Girl, it turns out they hated each other. Or the Sex and the City ladies. They hated Samantha Jones.
Yes.
Or, you know, they didn't get along. You know, there's always that backstory. And people, as icky as it is, people actually love
the drama.
The drama.
Oh, I know all of the big ones where they hated each other. The Good Wife. Ooh. Juliana Margulies.
Hated who?
The Indian... like paralegal girl.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Those actresses, like towards the end, couldn't even be in a scene together. Lorelai Gilmore and Luke, those actors didn't like each other. Mm-hmm. Those are some big names.
Well, those are big. And incredible acting because you couldn't tell just by watching.
I know. This was so ick. I had to cleanse my palate. I had to turn on Bowen Yang as Mudang. That SNL skit that had just happened. If ever you need a palate cleanser after Popstar Academy, Bowen Yang as a baby hippo, so good. Perfect.
What I hope for, though, is that these girls are getting a lot of press and maybe as like a Singles Inferno show does for their contestants, that it jumpstarts their influencer career. Like even Illy, I don't like her, but I also know that she was supporting her family through her dancing. So maybe she gets a bigger fan base. Hopefully some of them get other record deals.
Yeah, Carly, who is the most pissed out of everybody. Carly is so pissed.
She was eating like tteokbokki with Daniela, and Daniela's like, don't say that you're going to get kicked off. And she goes, well, then who else? Well, as if it was Daniela who was doing it, you know? And
Daniela just quietly eats her rice cake. Carly is basically the conspiracy theorist. She's like, these execs forming these teams, they picked the best people to be on these teams. Like the people that they want to win, they're putting on the stronger teams.
They gave them the best opportunity.
Yep. She's saying like the company put out like these cuts
on social media and they were quite bad. Like her singing was not good. And she claims that there were better takes of her singing. And actually, I think Mitra, the CEO, confirms it basically.
Yeah. She's like Maleficent.
With that mole?
Oh, yeah, like, don't eat an apple. She's given to you. If I were the execs, that's what you got to do. You got to stack the cards right. Yeah. You can't have loser 20th people winning this whole thing. They're basically, you know, roadkill. they're all just been like chewed up and spit out by this machine. Yeah. And it happens every day. It's just hard to watch.
But you know, if they could have identified this earlier on, like if Bang Bang was like, okay, Carly's not it, then she should have gotten rid of her.
But
earlier.
They need 20 people.
I know.
She's just for them.
She's a puppet.
The episode ends with finally a good cliffhanger. Mm. I mean, this is what Korean shows do the best, is a cliffhanger. And they really nail it on this one. 1 week later, Mitra, Maleficent, is called into a room. We're not seeing who she's talking to, but she and Missy are telling somebody that they need to be let go because they missed 10 days of rehearsal.
I mean, we've been led to believe that would be Manon, right? Because she's missed so much. But I don't know that that is the case.
Oh, I have another guess. I think it's Lexi because Lexi is one of the last people to be called in mission two at the elimination round. You know, they call all these people and they're doing it real slow. And like Lexi is one of the last ones. She walks up to get her envelope from the table to accept her invitation. She gives the camera a look like, fuck you.
Really?
She kind of swipes. Watch it again. She like kind of goes up. Again. She sashays up, kind of like swipes the envelope off the table and kind of just gives everyone like a what the fuck look. So that is a girl. And she, you can see she's just like pissed. I feel like at the end of episode six, she is looking dead in the eyes and pissed.
Oof.
So my guess is it's Lexi.
Okay.
Who's just giving up on this whole thing and doesn't want to be part of it anymore.
Okay. So with all that being said and done, who do you identify most with in this group? Even amongst the people who have left.
I want to identify with Lexi. I'm not sure I do, but that fuck you face Lexi gives at the end is her just being, I am not your puppet. Like, you guys are assholes and I'm going to let you know. Mm. I think there's something so powerful in a 17 or 18 year old being able to like recognize that while these other girls are still so desperate to be part of the show. She's just like, fuck you. Mm. I feel like Missy. Just ground to the bone, serving others, not wanting
dry skin.
Yeah, such dry skin, not wanting my babies to feel bad about things. Yeah, so I wish I was Lexi. I feel like Missy. What about you?
Frankly, I don't think that there's one personality that fits me best, but maybe this is more a question of who I'd like to be. Mm-hmm. I really like Sophia. Mm-hmm. And I think that she is not only good at what she does, but she's quite humble. She tries really hard and she is very positive. You know, she's even when she was like not feeling well about comments and whatnot, she was talking about feeling down or insecure about something. And she really said to the camera, like, I don't allow myself to go there. Mm-hmm. And I'm working constantly on my own mental health and like ensuring that I stay grounded and positive. And so I would like to be like her.
Okay, that was Popstar Academy, Cat's Eye, episodes 5 and 6. We have a great cliffhanger. We're excited to see what 7-8 has to bring. Thanks all for watching with us. Be well, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.